Hi, I'm Carrie at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Jillian Anderson, Agent Dana Scully on the Kevin and Bean Christmas album.
And David Duchovny, Agent Fox Mulder from The X-Files. This holiday season, trust no one, not even Santa Claus.
Mulder, Santa Claus isn't real. He's a folk legend. Any 8-year-old child can tell you that.
What about the proof, Scully?
What proof?
The crap, Scully. It was reindeer crap. You analyzed it yourself.
So it's reindeer crap. Reindeer do that too, you know.
On the roof, Scully. How do you explain that?
There could be 1,000 explanations. Maybe some kids put it up there as a prank. Maybe the reindeer ate Mexican.
All right, well then how do you explain what we found on that half-eaten plate of cookies?
All we found were a few white beard hairs. Kenny Rogers could have been up here. We don't know. They could have come from anyone.
No, not just anyone. There's someone out there. Yes, Dana, there is a Santa Claus.
Oh, Fox, forget about that stuff. It's Christmas. Hey, I'm going to buy your gift tonight. What do you want?
The truth, Scully. All I want is the truth. And a pony.
Hey, it's Chad Lambert, comic book writer and creator of Point Pleasant, the first ever Mothman comic book series, located at www.apebooks.com through Ape Entertainment. And you are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Outstanding, I have to say. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And Doug is still missing. He's out in beautiful Mount Pleasant right now. Probably, and I think we can verify this, Will, he's probably in front of a poker machine right now as we speak. Am I correct, Will?
Well, the first time we mentioned that he was probably there, he was still in the chat room. And he's like, no, I'm not. And then, like, 10 minutes later, he's like, I gotta go, everyone.
He has to go. He's probably right now, he's about knee-deep right now in the I've seen him play the poker machine. When we went on Coast to Coast AM that night,
right.
We were down at the casino in Detroit. And, I mean, I don't know how to play poker myself, but, I mean, he was playing that poker machine. The digital poker. And I mean, it looked pretty easy. All he did was just push the button and then push the button again, and he'd lose the money, and then he'd push the button and push the button again, and he'd lose the money, and then he'd push the button and push the button again, and he'd lose the money. So I figured, well, I can do that without putting money in the machine, right? So I sat there next to him just, you know, hitting the button, and I did pretty good, I thought myself. I left there with money in my pocket. He didn't. So I think I was a winner that night. But Doug is going to be going to see The Amazing Kreskin tomorrow. We're going to have a report on that. Actually, our first show of 2006. Doug's going to come back here and tell us what he thought about the Amazing Kreskin, which I'm sure is going to be nothing short of astounding. We do have Bobby Atrastein. Did I say it right, Bobby?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I think I got it. I killed it in the earlier segment, but I think I got it nailed down now. We were talking about all kinds of stuff. A few minutes ago, Bobby. And what I want to try to do is kind of try to get a direction here. I mean, we weren't obviously out of control or anything like that, but as far as this idea of psychological effects on the brain, as far as the paranormal is concerned, that's obviously another kind of open-ended thing, and there's a lot to lend credence to. My thing, like I said before, is, you know, as a ghost hunter myself, I told you what my biggest concern was, is I just don't want to be that person to freak somebody out so they move out of their house. That's my biggest concern. That scares me beyond all belief.
Exactly.
Because, like I said, that's when you take a photo and you show it to someone, I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, take that as verifiable proof that their home may be haunted. Like I said, it could have been anything. I mean, I'm sure you've seen plenty of you know, pieces of spirit photography and pieces of evidence and stuff like that. And I don't think all of them are the real McCoy, so to say. I think some of them may not. They may have just been something in the film. It could have been anything. It could have been, especially with digital technology, they could have been anything as far as cameras go and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's still a scary thing, though. I hate to see people freak out, like you were talking about, that example of the gentleman, the painter, the gentleman who was pretty much a regular guy who saw something and it changed his whole outlook on reality. Have you ever experienced any other people in that same manner? I'm just curious.
I mean, there have definitely been people that have said, you know, I didn't believe in ghosts until, you know, they experienced things themselves, but it didn't seem to shake them to the extreme that gentleman that had to go on medication.
Yeah.
Not to date anyway.
Well, yeah, a lot of people, I mean, I should say just about everybody that I've met, I've never met a person that literally lost their grip because of seeing something like that. All the people that I know I've been in contact with personally said, look, I was just, you know, and I was doing this in my house, and I turned around, and there was a Civil War soldier standing there looking at me. And, yeah, it startled the person. They're like, you know, it really startled me, but I was like, well, they're more interested, let's just say. They're more interested in exploring it as opposed to, oh, my God, you know, I can't deal with things anymore now. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's I've never really met anybody who really lost their grip where they actually had to have prescribed medication. It's this idea where, well, the bottom line, like I said, is it's the idea. What I want to understand more or less is why somebody would really lose their grip. Is it still this idea where it's like I said a minute ago, Bobby, is it the fear of the unknown equals the fear of death? Is that what scares people so much?
I would think so. I mean, I think if you've spent your whole life, and this guy grew up in a very religious family,
okay,
where there's heaven or hell and there's nothing in between, and the only ghost is the Holy Ghost, and that's, you know, what you've grown up with, and then you see something that kind of, even though ghost is meant, the word ghost is mentioned, I don't know how many hundreds of times in the Bible.
Yeah.
In the Bible Belt area, they don't preach that. They preach, you know, there's heaven and hell, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then anything else is of Satan. And I think if you've been taught that your whole life, as this gentleman was taught, and then you see something that obviously defies all of that, that helped to kind of put him over the edge more so than it would maybe your average person.
Well, that's an interesting idea, too, is you take the religious aspect and throw it in there, too. And I am all too familiar with it as yourself, Bobby. I've been the subject of not, I don't want to say ridicule, but speculation by a lot of people because of what, you know, what we do here on the radio show and what we do as ghost hunters, that, well, it's very, very narrow-minded. We both know that, where I've seen people literally equate ghost hunter with Satan worshiper. It's like, where are you getting that idea from?
I
don't sacrifice a goat before I go investigate an area. I don't, you know, find a virgin or something. I don't know what these people do. I mean, I've read stuff before, but
squirrels.
Squirrels are very important to sacrifice before a ghost investigation. It's very important.
Yeah.
It has to happen before you do anything, obviously.
That's right.
But the religious aspect is another thing. You have this ideology, a strong ideology that, you, like you said, this man grew up with. And now all of a sudden he's seen something that has changed that idea, has changed his outlook now, and he couldn't handle it. And that's, it's a scary, unfortunate thing for a person. I hate to see people go through that, too.
Well, and another case that comes to mind is a case out in Huddleston that we did. And we actually got the best pictures that I consider to be, as far as pictures that I've seen, 100% unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
We even had a guy from Kodak look at them, unexplained phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in for the house, it was a little old lady that lived in this house, she was a widow. And we really thought we were going to hit the jackpot that night because we got these pictures on the pre-investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So we really thought we'd hit the jackpot doing our full scale. And right before we set up our equipment, the woman looked at the lead investigator and said, you know what, I don't know if I want to know if there's anything in this house or not.
Okay.
Because obviously she had to live there by herself.
Yeah.
And you know, that house went dead. No pun intended. Just dead, like nothing happened
uh-huh.
the whole night.
Yeah. Well, that just, like, that statement she made just backs up what I said a few minutes ago, Bobby. The exact same thing. You know, I think there may be something in my house. I think there may be something here. Could you guys come here and check it out? And I think an experienced ghost hunter is going to say what I say. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do this investigation. We're going to take all this evidence. Do you really, really, really want to know if there is a true, whatever it may be, if there is an entity roaming your home? Can people sometimes handle that? Now, what you just said, though, is a different take on that, though. This woman, you guys said you went there on a pre-investigation. And
right.
you got a bunch of really interesting photos. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now this lady says, I don't know if I want to find out for sure if this home is haunted. I have to live here by myself. And you said the house went dead. Am I correct?
Yes, exactly.
What do you think, why do you think that happened? I'm really curious about that.
Well, I believe that whatever was in her house was friendly and didn't want to scare her.
Okay.
I think it didn't want to scare her.
Uh-huh.
And this lady had apports, or whatever the new word is for them, objects that don't belong in the house at all, like appear in the house. I mean, she had some major stuff going on in that house.
Okay.
To us, in our minds, she was completely credible. After the photos, there was no doubt in our mind, that there was something unexplained occurring in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whatever was in there was very friendly towards her and did not wish to scare her.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that lends this idea, though, too. And I was just thinking about this when you mentioned this. If that's the case, then whatever was in this woman's house is a thinking individual, so to say.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing has a conscience. It thinks. It says, look, I want to live here and I want to acknowledge my presence, but I don't want this woman to be scared to live in this home.
Exactly.
That may have been, that could have been anybody. That could have been a previous owner. That could have been someone who may have been murdered there.
It could have been her husband, too.
It could have been her husband, too. You said she was a widow.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take as far as I know myself, and I've been told by credible psychics this too, Bobby, that I am not good to bring in haunted locations, because for some reason my aura, I have a very intense aura, I guess, and my energy is very intense, and I scare ghosts away. If you've ever heard that before, it's usually the other way around. You know?
I've heard of ghost bait and then ghost repellent.
Uh-huh. Apparently, I'm ghost repellent, so I'm not always the greatest guy to bring on an investigation, because I'll make a house dead too, I guess, from what I've been told. Photos I take, that's why I haven't seen a ghost. Maybe I'm not looking close enough yet. Maybe I'm still too, I don't want to use the term shallow, but maybe I'm not deep enough yet. I think about these things all the time. But I, myself, though, I believe, I mean, if something really wants to show itself to me, it's going to do it, whether, I mean, I have an intense aura or not.
Right.
I mean, as far as this woman's house goes, I'm just curious, if you, I know this is a private residence, but could you tell us some of the things that went on there?
Well, one very interesting thing that happened that we noted is that she had a fireplace, and she had, like, glass doors on her fireplace,
uh-huh.
and it was double-paneled. Glass doors. And on the inside of the inside panel, which no one could get to humanly without disassembling the entire, you know, glass structure, were child handprints.
Mm-hmm.
Which defies logic.
Absolutely.
How
yeah.
handprints get inside a double pane glass.
Now,
she didn't even have any grandkids.
Well, did you see that? Did these things appear while you guys were there, or were they there just the whole time?
No, we were actually checking out the place. My husband is a detective.
Okay.
And has been trained with fingerprints, that kind of stuff. And so we happened to be flashing our flashlight and caught it. And we asked her, thought it was interesting. And upon closer inspection, realized they were from the inside. And one of the entities she believed was that of a little girl. And I believe it's because she had heard a little girl laughing or calling for her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And there were the child's handprints.
Oh, my goodness. And that was on the inside of the fireplace, you said, right?
Inside of the, it was a double pane.
Yeah.
But, yes. So it defies So how you do that one, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I don't know if they had a chimney sweeper come through that was like maybe 5 or 6 years old. I don't know. That seems,
exactly.
I mean, I'm sure there could be some type of explanation, but that's very strange in its own right. Is there any other things that happened in the house? I'm just wondering, as far as this woman's concerned.
Other than the apports, I mean, she had objects, like one was a little flower that appeared in the middle of her floor that she cannot account for how it got there. It didn't belong to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty strong sign when you have objects materializing in your home.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know I've never had any experience with that myself, but I've talked to other people that have said the same thing. They're like, this thing just appeared. We don't know where it came from. I don't know what it belongs to. And then you said this was a flower, though?
A flower. It was actually a plastic flower. Not a real flower, plastic flower.
A plastic flower.
Yeah, plastic. Couldn't even get her a real flower, plastic flower.
But this house, like you said, it went completely dead, though. You guys didn't really get anything after she said that statement.
That's right.
See,
exactly.
And that's something to really explore, too, because, like I said, I'm wondering, like you said, well, you said your explanation was that the ghost there was friendly and it didn't want to scare this woman. I'm wondering, I mean, that, like I said, that would lend credence, obviously, that this was a thinking person that maybe may have, it was her husband. I mean, obviously, if that was her husband, he loved her, and he don't want her to be scared. He just wants to acknowledge that he's still there. It's actually kind of a beautiful thing when you think about it. It's a very nice thing. As far as the psychology goes, too, this is what really has me going is, I mean, I'm wondering, too, like, you know, when I talk to psychics and stuff like that, what they tell me, every psychic that's told me that I've talked to has told me the same thing. They're like, we're all psychics in some sense or another. Some of us are stronger psychics than other people, but we all can have a psychic ability if we practice enough. Now,
right.
I think that is a direct result of a psychological effect on your brain, obviously, as far as paranormal activity goes. Can you lend some light on that?
Well, yeah, I definitely believe that. One device that we have and one of our ways of trying to get to where we can reproduce things in a lab is we have a creation we call the Brain Fritzer. And the idea behind the Brain Fritzer comes from Dr. Michael Persinger, who's a neuroscientist in Canada, working for a university in Canada. And what he's discovered is that if you expose the temporal lobes of your brain, which are located right there where your temples are,
mm-hmm.
to electromagnetic energy, a lot of times people will experience paranormal phenomena.
Okay.
They will see things, feel things, out-of-body experiences, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the key to this is somewhere in our temporal lobes. And so we actually have a brain fritzer that's modeled after a similar contraption that Dr. Persinger has that his assistant gave us the blueprints for,
mm-hmm.
and we call it the brain fritzer.
And this thing, all it is you attach it to the temporal lobes of your head.
And we hook it up to a computer that's generating a frequency. Now, here's what's interesting, Scott,
okay.
is that with me, when I will go into a house that's supposedly haunted, in certain places I will get a dull headache right around my temples, and I never have headaches. I'm one of those rare lucky people that's never had a headache. But when I put the brain fritzer on, I have the same sensation occurs. The exact same headache comes.
A dull headache, like you were saying.
Just like I would get in a haunted location. So it definitely tells me that, first of all, I'm sensitive to magnetic energy.
Yeah.
And secondly, that in those houses where that activity was occurring, there was some sort of anomalous electromagnetic energy. Now, some ghost hunters will tell you that ghosts are electromagnetic energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, self-contained EM running around, because technically the laws of physics, a self-contained EM field defies our current understanding of physics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we certainly might discover that some law or principle, and I believe we will later on in the future, but our current understanding, it defies any of that for
mm-hmm.
that to happen. But I've walked into those, and I've actually walked into those where you could walk in and out of them, and you could follow them around the room.
Oh, wow. And that's what this brain fritzer, you call it.
Yeah, the brain. There's a picture of it on the website. If you go to the website and check out technology, and you can actually see me being Fritz.
What is that website again? I'm just curious.
It's VirginiaGhost.com. VirginiaGhost.com.
Excellent.
VirginiaGhost.com, and click on technology at the top, and you'll see the brain Fritzer.
And you take you take this on investigations with you guys.
We do take it on investigations, and any time we give speeches or lectures, there are people lining up to be Fritz, which just really amazes me that I tell people I'm going to do something to their brain, and they line up and want it done.
Yeah.
Without further explanation, they want it done.
We're going to attach this machine to your head. Just hang tight here. You're going to...
And they just line, last Halloween, I went to a place, and I probably fritzed about 500 people.
Oh my
That's
God.
All I did was fritz. I didn't have time to lecture because I was too busy fritzing people.
Well, and that's ironic that that's like that. You know, we were just talking about the fear of the unknown and stuff like that, and how really the fear of the unknown is equated with the fear of death. But people at the same time will jump at the opportunity to have their brain fritzed.
I know. It's amazing.
Which, you know, I mean, I guess if you were the 500th person in that line, you'd have a decent idea that nobody's really been hurt yet.
No one's clucking like a chicken yet.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
pretty safe.
Yeah, no one was speaking like fluent like Latin or something like that when they couldn't
exactly.
do it before. So they may know, okay, this isn't a very unknown thing. But I'm sure there was a good number of people there that didn't know how they react. And we also know that people are all different too. They react to things.
Everyone had different reactions. Now here's one interesting case. I had a lady come twice. She came. I've done this 2 years in a row with this particular Halloween lecture,
mm-hmm.
and this lady says she's psychic, and she says that when she is about to get a psychic impression, her ears get warm,
okay,
which I've never heard of before, but this is what she says, and I put the brain fritzer on her, and lo and behold, her ears got hot to the touch, and they turned blood red.
Oh, my God.
This happened 2 years in a row. So it just proved my point that the point that I was trying to make is that somehow, paranormal phenomena, and we can tie this into to psychic phenomena, definitely ties in with electromagnetic energy and it being applied to the temporal lobe. So I at least have the region of the brain, you know, that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten any further than that yet.
Yeah. Well, no, that's very interesting. And that's the first I've heard of that as far as, you know, as far as the brain's concerned, because that's what we're talking about tonight. That the temporal lobes may be the key. I don't want to say they're like the holy grail. We need to open up the temporal lobes to let the information come through. But this may be one of the keys, let's say.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of the keys. Definitely one of the keys.
And I want to try this too. I want to have my brain fritzed also, Bobby. I need to try to get together with you guys so I can try this myself. Because
yeah.
I mean, I've never, like I said, I go out and do this stuff, but I've never seen a ghost before. And I mean, I'm always, I don't want to say complaining or whining about it, but I know tons of people that have seen ghosts and experienced things like this. Now, I've heard things, I've smelled things, I've actually felt things here and there too, but I've never really seen something. But I mean, this may be the idea. I mean, I'm wondering if in the future, like you were talking about things that may be happening in the future, if there will be a way to condition yourself. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that film called The Lawnmower Man, for example. Have you ever seen that movie, Bobby?
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it, now.
Well, the idea was, you know, about a person that was, you know, and I saw it years ago, but I just thought of it for this example. You know, it was about a person who was not very smart. He wasn't very intelligent. And he was exposed to a type of technology where he would, you know, more or less put a headset on, and he was able to learn volumes and volumes of information in the period of like 5 minutes, right? So he went from being, you know, average, like, well, not even average, like a dumb person, not a very smart, intelligent person, to being a genius within
wow.
the period of minutes, right? I'm wondering
right.
if the future might hold something interesting like that for people who want to experience paranormal phenomena, and I'm wondering if the brain fixer might have a part in that, where...
Well, yeah, and I say that because our blueprints were taken from Dr. Persinger's helmet, which he actually, his assistant, Todd Murphy, sells on the Internet.
Oh, wow.
As a way to enhance your mystical experiences.
Uh-huh.
You're actually supposed to give yourself like 3 treatments a week, 30-minute sessions a week, And it's this guy, Todd Murphy's into Eastern mysticism and into meditation.
Okay.
And he says if you do this, that it will actually help to increase your, you'll have a better meditation, better trip, as it were.
Better trip.
When
okay.
you meditate. Yeah, so it is supposed to help with out of body and things like that.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you mentioned the word trip, which, you know, we all giggle a little bit about that. And I have friends on, you know, I know people on both sides of the coin where they say, look, man, you know, if you want to have a spiritual experience, you want to get in tune with yourself, you need to meditate and train your body. You need to train your mind. You need to discipline yourself to be able to have those experiences. And then I know people on the other side of the coin who are like, dude, just, no, you know, and I don't want to talk too much on this, but, you know, as far as a trip's concerned, man, you need mind-altering drugs to help you do this kind of stuff. And that's what they experimented with, obviously, with LSD and things like that.
Yeah.
To try to get people in tune with these things. Now, obviously, the side effects aren't too good. It kind of turns into a drooling automaton. But the time that people spent there, there were these notable things that they saw or felt. I'm wondering if that's the future of what we do, if people want to experience these things, experience paranormal phenomena, if there is more training involved with that. But, I mean, it obviously has to be something that's not going to have bad side effects. I'm wondering if it may just be discipline, like people tell me. You need to meditate, Scott. You need to get in tune with yourself. You need to calm your mind on all these types of things. I ask these questions all the time, and it sounds like this particular tool you're talking about might be one of those things to help people down the road. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know either way, but it sounds like a very interesting thing, and it sounds like the two examples you gave me, as far as your idea where you get a dull headache, which is interesting, and that other lady whose ears would get warm when she experienced a paranormal phenomena. I wonder if this particular tool might be a good thing to expose yourself to if you want to try to have a paranormal experience. It's a very interesting idea. Why don't we take a quick break, though, Bobby, okay?
Okay.
This is still Ghostly Talk. In case people, this is still the same exact same show we had a half an hour ago. We have Bobby Atrestine on the show tonight. We're talking about psychological experience or the psychological effects on the brain as a result of the paranormal in ways that obviously you may be able to heighten your sensitivity and things like that. But in the meantime, I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And this is Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back.
It's a holiday in Cambodia. Don't forget to pack a wife. Jeff Walmsley, MothmanLive.com, and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Kick out of those bumpers, man, but, you know, I gotta be honest with you, when New Year comes, man, I'm gonna be happy to go back to the deathcore and guts and metal stuff. Yeah, stuff coming up. It's always fun. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott O.
I'm Will.
And we have Bappy at Tristine on the phone with us talking about the brain, all types of weird things to go on with the brain. You know, Bobby, I want to tell you a funny story, and this might give us an idea, because I mentioned in the first segment about, you know, people that I've talked to that have two, you know, there's two approaches. There's the natural approach to trying to get in touch with your spiritual self, and then there's the synthetic approach, so to say, where people use drugs and stuff like that. We did an investigation a couple years ago at a gentleman's house, and we heard all types of stories about this gentleman's house, and that it was very hard, and things were flying off the walls, and he was hearing wailing and screaming and stuff in the back room. And we loaded up the gear and, you know, got in the car and went over there. And as soon as we walked in the door, I looked over to my left in the kitchen, and there was a whole table, I tell you about it, a whole table full of beer cans. Okay. Now, and ironically, what's the first thing the gentleman asked me? Hey, you want a beer? And I'm like,
exactly.
I'm not here to drink, man. I'm here to check this house out. You know, obviously one of the key rules of you know, well, rules or guidelines, you'd say, of ghost hunting is you don't want to be under the influence of alcohol or drugs or whatever your thing may be, whatever vice it may be, aside from nicotine or caffeine. Have you ever had any experience with that? I'm just curious as far as your investigation goes.
Oh yeah, we had this one house outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, where the thing actually was interesting because the daughter had been indirectly involved with a double homicide.
Mm.
At least that's what we were told. Yeah, and so right after the homicide that she was indirectly involved with, they started having ghosts come out of pictures on the walls and all sorts of stuff when we get there, and they left the marijuana roach, the end of a joint, in the ashtray. If they knew my husband was a cop, they probably would have crapped themselves.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
But we walked in, and of course, one of our standard questions is, do you do illicit drugs? And they were like, well, it's not illegal if you grow it yourself, is it?
Oh, my God. Really?
It's like, yes, that is a true quote. I cannot make this stuff up.
Wow.
I don't have to make it up.
Wow. Well, I know that's a question. I mean, I've seen a lot of different groups out there doing this thing, investigations of sorts, that they've come up with their own questionnaires, like you were talking about.
Right.
And it's always, it's a staple, Mark. It has to be part of every questionnaire, I think, is do you do drugs or, you know, alcohol or whatever, however it may be phrased. I've come in contact with tons of people that claim they have hauntings in their homes or they've been haunted by something that, well, they, let's just say they don't lead the most healthy style of life, okay?
Exactly.
And I've told a lot of people straight up, they're like, man, you know, I got home and this thing was standing in the living room. I'm like, yeah, well, where'd you come home from? Well, I was coming home from the bar. I'm like, well, okay, man. I've seen all kinds of wild stuff when I had a few too many pops one night. I've seen all kinds of weird, funny things. I wouldn't most notably make them out to be paranormal occurrences. But it is an interesting idea because I have been told by people also that when you drink or do drugs or of some sort, you weaken your body, you weaken your mental state, where spirits can actually inhabit or not, or they can actually pierce through easier, and you might be more likely to see something. So there's two sides of the coin there, and it's a hard thing to try to differentiate when you think about it. But I mean, have you been told? Have you heard that theory also? Where if you're, I was told by a demonologist that if I had too much to drink, that a demon would inhabit my body. It'd be easier for demons to get to me and make me evil. It's funny. I know it's kind of a goopy thing, and I think it may be in more of a
word. I have heard that.
Yeah.
And with the brain fritzer, my rule of thumb, what I tell people is that either the EM is causing your brain to misfire and you're having hallucinations, or it's allowing you to see the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
Two sides of the coin to the brain fritzer, too.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that idea. Like I said, it was kind of a one-sided thing when I heard it. It was like, look, if you drink, demons will inhabit your body. I'm like, no, it's just the Jack Daniels going to my brain and making me a moron, I think. That's all it's really doing. I don't think it's a demon necessarily inhabiting me or possessing me, so to say. I think you could call it a demon of sorts, but it isn't a paranormal type demon. I think it's the grain alcohol demon. Like I said, that one example, though, cracked me up, because this gentleman, he told us all types of things. Oh, my God, he told us right there in front of us when we were in the house, this picture right here flew right off the wall. I'm like, well, are you sure it didn't fall off the wall and you didn't drink all this beer and, you know, and kind of see it fly off the wall? I mean, it is perception when it comes to something like that.
Exactly.
And that's something you have to take into account, too. I think there are a lot of people, as far as investigations go, and this is a big problem for a lot of groups I know, and I've talked to a lot of them, where they say, you know, we went to this person's house. And it could be anything from somebody who drinks too much or they do drugs or people, and this is an unfortunate thing too, but it has to do with the mind, the people that are just maybe kind of lonely and they just want someone to come and check their house out and maybe hang out with them for a while.
You're the entertainment for the evening.
Yeah, well, that's a very bad thing. That's happened too. It sounds like you've been through that also, Bobby.
Yes.
I've been the subject of that also, and it's, you know, when you do it for a little while, you start to get a good sense for, okay, what's going on here? You know, is this house really haunted? Have you called me here and wasted my time just because you wanted some entertainment, like you said, Bobby? And that's not a cool thing, obviously. You shouldn't do that to people. But there is all these different aspects, though, as far as the mind goes and how you perceive things, where you may have perceived something completely natural, something completely normal. I've seen things fall off walls before. I've seen things fly off walls before. I can't say that every single time it was a paranormal occurrence. For example, I had an old metal filing cabinet in my bedroom when I had my first apartment back in the day. And I was in my room by myself. It was a quiet night. It was in the evening. And you know, a metal filing cabinet, it's made out of sheet metal, right?
Right.
And sometimes when you push the sheet metal in, it presses in, and then over time, when the metal pushes its way out, it'll pop out really loud, right?
Right.
Well, I was working away, minding my own business, and apparently this sheet metal on the filing cabinet was pushed in, and one night, it decided, for whatever reason, the environment, maybe air, who knows, it popped out and made a very loud sound, right? Scared me half to death. I won't lie to you. It made me jump right out of my desk chair. But I looked back at it and said, that really couldn't have been, I don't think it was a paranormal thing. I don't think it was a ghost trying to communicate with me. I think it was just a filing cabinet. It was just a piece of metal. That's all it was. I know some people out there would be like, oh my God, it was a ghost trying to communicate with me. And that's where I think, you know, maybe that's where my problem is possibly, is that I'm a bit shallow when it comes to things like that. Because I'm like, no, it's a filing cabinet, man. There's no ghost there. I don't see any reason for there to be a ghost there. Move on. You know, maybe you'll bump into one down the road. I don't know.
Exactly.
There's this idea of perception, and that's a big part of the mind right there, I think, is how people perceive things. And that's one of the big things we tell people when you go out into the field and do this work is just that. Perception is everything, and what I, you know, we talk about it every week just about. If you want to see ghosts, I'm sure you've been through this too, Bobby. If you want to see ghosts, we'll show you a ghost. I'll tell you stories to make your skin crawl, and then I'll take you to a house that has a bunch of stories attached to it, and I'm pretty sure you'll see something.
Exactly.
Because your mind will manufacture it.
Exactly.
Have you ever bumped into people that you think really made their mind was manufacturing these ideas? Maybe they weren't drinking too much. Maybe they weren't doing drugs. Maybe their mind was just playing tricks on them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's a huge part, which is why we do the... Within our questionnaire, we you know, ask, has anything ever happened to you? You know, when was your first paranormal experience? We're of course, scoping out their house to see how much Stephen King have they been reading.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff, because it plays a huge part. You're absolutely right.
I didn't even mention that. I mean, to this day, and I've been meaning to mention this for a very long time, but to this day, I won't lie. I may have mentioned it in the past. I don't like basements. I won't lie to people. Basements bother me. They still do. I mean, I go down the basement still. I'll do it now because I know it's part of the work we do. But really, basements still bug me, Bobby. Especially walking up the stairs. When you're walking up the stairs by yourself, you know, I always feel like there's something behind me, so to say, right? And it always makes me, like, I'll start at the bottom of the stairs, right? And I'll be walking up the stairs, and then all of a sudden, I'll find myself running up the stairs sometimes, right? Because my mind is still doing that, and that's a result of even of all the paranormal work I've done to try to cleanse my mind, where I'm a very objective person. I still have that Hollywood mentality sometimes, where I think, you know, I saw, you know, that slasher film where the person was walking up the stairs, and then the slashers cut their foot off or something. I don't know.
Right.
And I go blowing up the stairs 100 miles an hour. It's perception. And, yeah, that should be part of any questionnaire also is, you know, are you shaken easily? Are you freaked out easily? Are you an objective person? I mean, there's all these questions you have to ask these people, it seems. And that's a big one, too, is, you know, it really is when you think of a questionnaire, Bobby, and tell me what you think about this. Is this really a psychological analysis in a lot of ways when you go to someone's house and you ask them to fill out this questionnaire? Do you think it's more of a psychological analysis when you do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we considered a psychological analysis.
Well, yeah, I think that's a big thing, too. I mean, because, you know as well as I do, to go in and do an investigation like this, this isn't exactly the easiest thing to do. It's a lot of time you have to spend on it. Sometimes it's a few dollars you have to pull out of your own pocket to do it.
Yeah.
And you really want to make sure that where you're going may be a legit, I don't want to use the word legit, it's kind of a bad term, but it's a legit thing. It's the real McCoy, as opposed to like someone, like I mentioned before, who has a case of beer or empty can sitting on their table. And then they're claiming that they have ghosts in their house, that they're seeing ghosts. Well, yeah, you're seeing plenty of ghosts because you're drunk, so to say.
Exactly, the ghost of Budweiser.
Yeah, the ghost of Budweiser, you're drunk. I mean, and I've seen that time and time again with people. Unfortunately, that's why there's all these gray areas, I think, and that's why we were talking about earlier about the scientific approach and having a hypothesis of some sorts. There is no specified standards out there. We all know that. There's no standards. This is what defines a paranormal experience. This is what defines a haunting in your house. We don't have any guidelines to go by. It's all gray areas. And there's people like yourself out there, though, that are trying to define these things. That's what I like to see people do. I think that's really important. So I commend you on that, Bobby, for doing that sort of work. Have you been on? I'm just curious, though. We only got about maybe 15 minutes here, but I'm just wondering if there's any other like investigations you've been on that were like somewhat interesting. Have you ever seen some really wild stuff out there? Because I mean, we're ghost hunters. We're both ghost hunters here. I love to exchange stories with other ghost hunters. I'm wondering if there's been any other areas you've been to that were really notable.
Well, let me talk a little more about the Kentucky case. There's a lot to it. This is where the guy saw the little girl and freaked out.
Yeah.
We found out, I mean, first of all, this family, the mother had been, she was only 32. She was married young, married at 15 or 16, and had a 16-year-old who had her boyfriend living with her. They had a 10-year-old who was the sanest of the whole family, and then a 4-year-old little boy.
Mm-hmm.
The mother had been experiencing poltergeist phenomena since she was a little girl. And the daughter, the 15-year-old, was a self-mutilator. She cut herself. So the whole family had emotional issues, except for the 10-year-old and the 4-year-old. Well, the 15-year-old, about a year, everything really took off about a year prior to us being there. And so I was trying to figure out what happened a year prior. Because obviously there's generally some sort of catalyst that occurs. And we couldn't figure out what that catalyst was. Well, on our very last day, right before we're about to leave, the young woman and her boyfriend want to come into our camper and talk to us. And we said, okay. and she told us that she had been raped, brutally raped, beaten and raped by an ex-boyfriend. He had broken into their house and raped her and beat her.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, horrible.
Horrible.
And
yeah.
So right before he was sentenced, I guess he was out on bail or bond or whatever, her current boyfriend and herself made an effigy likeness of this ex-boyfriend and burned it. And said, you know, I hope you burn in hell, as they were burning this effigy of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And within 7 days, he was killed by a freak explosion where he was burned to death.
Oh, my God.
And that, yeah. And that happened right about at the same time that all this stuff started happening in their house.
And they basically, I mean, it sounds like they were practicing a form of voodoo there, obviously.
Yeah, and you know what? They got the idea off of a car commercial that used to come on TV about that time frame. This was a few years ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and there was a commercial on TV where the girl was, you know, getting even with an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, no.
And, so got the idea off of a TV commercial and did it. Now, did that really, was it just a strange coincidence? I don't know. I find it to be a very interesting coincidence.
Absolutely. I firmly believe that there are no coincidences anymore. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Whether or not that was a direct result of them burning that particular idol in effigy of that man, I think that he was off for a reason, let's just say. It don't sound like he was a very good person for the actions he committed, and I believe karma is the ultimate judgment when you do something like that, as far as something that brutal, too, that sinister and evil, that's going to come back on you, too. And it seems like, you know, I'm not heartless. I'm not a, you know, like, well, eye for an eye, my friend, you know, you need to die and all that stuff. But it sounds like creating that kind of energy, what he did, that it came back on him tenfold. It sounds like to me. Is there anything else happened in that Kentucky house? This sounds like it's a very interesting story of what happened at this home. It sounds like there was a lot of stuff going on there, too.
Yeah, in the end, what happened, they actually ended up selling the house. They wanted to get out of the house. They sold the house and moved to a new house. And they hadn't been in the new house very long, and it burned down. It burned to the ground. So they had insurance, and they rebuilt. And the last we heard from them, which has been maybe a year, maybe 2 year and a half ago, they were okay. The husband kind of doesn't want to talk about it. He wants to act as if that chapter kind of never happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we always hear ghost stories, too. You know, you always hear about legends and ghost stories and stuff like that. And, you know, it's another gray area there, too. But do you think, as far as that home was concerned, that and this goes back to haunted people, though, too, Bobby. Do you think that these people may have created everything that was going on in that house themselves? It may have not been a spirit of someone who may have lived there before. It may have been them creating all this stuff, which is obviously a direct result of poltergeist phenomena when you think about it. Do you think that may have been a result of their actions?
Yeah. Oh, I do. I think it was the people. Definitely think it was the people.
Because it sounds like it's, I mean, just explain the their whole report of who these people are and what they've done and, you know, what they're all about. It sounds like they may have been the result of all this paranormal activity.
Yeah.
And that just supports this idea you said at the very beginning of this conversation of haunted people, of people that may be haunted in all shapes and sizes. And I mean, when you think about it, though, and I was talking about karma a second ago, if you believe in karma like I do, we're all haunted when it comes down to that, because we all can create this. I firmly believe, and I've seen it happen time and time again, and I'm sure you have too, Bobby, where karma comes back and slaps you in the face.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm very careful now. It's actually pretty funny. There's an example. This is what I dealt with this week. At the office I work at, one of my coworkers had a little candy thing set up for his daughter, right? And, you know, for her little dancing thing or something like that. So I wanted to get, they were selling like a Pop-Tart or something like that. I'm like, hey, those look pretty good. I'm going to grab a Pop-Tart. So it was 70 cents, right? So I pull a dollar out of my wallet, And I put it in the envelope. It was like, you know, it's just one of those things that sits out. It's kind of like the honor system, you know. Just
exactly.
Pay the money, right? So pull a dollar out of my wallet. I look in the envelope, and I see a quarter, and I see a nickel, right? So, okay, let's do the addition here. Okay, 70 cents minus, no, okay, 30 cents. Quarter and a nickel is 30 cents. Okay, I put my dollar in there. I'm good to go. I grab my Pop-Tart. I enjoy my Pop-Tart. So later on in the day, I go in my pocket to grab my change, and I pull out the change that I pulled out of that envelope, right? And this is after I'm gone from work, by the way. Go in my pocket, I pull out the change, I'm like, okay, I got a quarter, and I have a nickel here. I pull it out, and I look, it's a silver dollar that I pulled out of the envelope, right? So I'm like, oh my God, I ripped this person off. Now, I don't know this person either, by the way. This was just a box sitting out randomly. There wasn't even a name on there. I couldn't even find a name, because I could have looked the person up, like, in the phone book or something like that. But I looked and said, oh my God, well, I just stole money from this guy. What am I doing, right? So I said, I'm going to come back there tomorrow. I'm going to pay the money back that I owe this person, right? Of course, I go back there the day after, and now the little money stand thing is not there now, and I can't find out who this person is. So I've been biting my nails all week, Bobby, about this thing, because I'm like, I stole money from someone. It's going to come back on me now. Oh, my God, what am I going to do, right? That's just a small example of the hell that I live in, Bobby. that's what I deal with on a daily basis, because, I mean, that's when you believe in karma like that, you believe that everything you do is going to have a reaction of some sort. So now I'm afraid that somebody's going to steal $1.75 off of me now. or something
yeah,
like
no,
that.
No, I understand. No, I believe in karma, too. It's very true.
Now, it also has to do, I think, with intentions, too.
Intentions. I was going to tell you, that also relates to your intentions. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I obviously wasn't out to steal $1.75 from that guy. I came there to honestly put a dollar in there and take 30 cents out. I just didn't look close enough at the change to see that it was actually a quarter and a nickel. So I don't know if I'm going to get nailed on that by the powers that be, so to say. Or if I'm going to find this person and be able to pay them the money back. So I'm still looking around, mind you. That's just one example of karma, how it can be. It's a very minor example as opposed to somebody who breaks into a home and then, you know, rapes a woman. I think they're two very, very different degrees of severity when it comes to karma. But there still is that reaction, the action and then the reaction. That creates this thing. And as far as that man being burned like that, that could have been a direct result of karma, in my opinion. And been a result of a lot of this paranormal activity, too, in this home. It's an interesting case you guys seem to have been on there. But it sounds like you said, these paranormal people, like you state, which is a very cool term, there is people that are paranormal-type people out there that create this energy, which is obviously, you can equate that with poltergeist. That's the big thing. Have you ever had any more experience with poltergeist-type phenomena? Have you ever worked with that any more besides that particular case?
Mainly, that's probably the biggest case where I would say poltergeist phenomena played into effect.
Uh-huh.
That's probably the biggest one. The rest of them would be more intelligent or residual spirits.
Uh-huh.
But that one just had all the elements. You had, you know, the young girl and the young guy who had a troubled family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a troubled family situation, high degree of stress. You had the mental instability
mm-hmm.
with most of the family members. So it really just kind of had it all, had everything you would want.
Well, yeah,
sounds like it.
Well, you have that stress, and I think that's one of the big things that could create an energy type field like that, where stress seems to be one of those. I don't really want to call it an emotion. It's a feeling where you feel stressed, for example.
Yeah.
I've heard stories upon stories. One story, for example, is a young girl I know, a friend of mine from high school, where she told me when her parents were fighting one day, there was a little TV set sitting on a TV stand in the living room, and they were fighting. And they were having a pretty heated argument, let's say. They were screaming back and forth at each other. And all of a sudden, and my friend Stacy tells me that she's like, I had nothing to do with it. I don't know what happened. But they kept screaming and screaming. And all of a sudden, the TV set just fell off the stand and hit the floor. And then, you know, broke, you know, and started sparking and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. Now, it could have been easily explained by, well, it was on the end of the table and the weight shifted or something like that and hit the floor and broke. But it could have been a stressful situation where the energy may have had a reaction on that object where it fell off the table. We've heard about that time and time again, as far as poltergeist phenomena is concerned, where objects will fly off the wall as a result of a young girl becoming angry. Because we talked about poltergeist before, of how it is these young women who seem to be the ones that are involved with this the most, where they'll get angry and something will fly off the wall, and that, which would you do equate with psychokinesis, so to say. There's all these types of ideas as far as the mind's concerned. I think the research you're working on, though, here is really, really cool, because when you think about it, and this goes back to the questionnaire thing we were talking about, I mean, how can you go into an area that someone that you don't know at all probably, says is haunted unless you know that they're in the right mind? That's the question.
Exactly.
That's the big question right there, I think, that you really need to find out if the people are credible. And that's the whole term, credible witnesses are concerned, if these people are credible enough to go in there and check out their home. That's a big testament to a lot of ghost hunters out there, I think, and they should follow that pretty closely, because it'll save you time and money, in my opinion, Bobby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you guys are working on. I think it's great work you guys are doing. I think I want to have the brain fritzer done to me pretty soon, too, Bobby, if you don't mind. We need to hook up somehow and do that. I don't know when we'll ever cross paths, but hopefully I can have that done to me. I'd really like to experience that if possible.
Well, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
It's an experience.
And what's your website again?
It's virginiaghost.com. Virginia is spelled out and ghost is plural. virginiaghost.com.
Cool. And everybody go check that out for sure. Bobby, I need to thank you for coming on the show again. It's been really great. I mean, really an enlightening thing. This is some very interesting stuff you guys are working on, too, over there. Feel free to come back on the show anytime. If you have some new news about something like that, feel free to give me a call or email or something like that, and we'll have you come back on and talk about it.
Well, that is awesome. Thank you for having me. I've had a lot of fun.
Cool. Hang tight on the line. We're going to close the show out. Okay, Bobby?
Okay. All right.
Guys, it's like 9 o'clock here. Wow. Yeah, I haven't done a show like this in a long time without Doug. I'm like just sitting here like, whoa, man, it's not easy to do this stuff on your own. When you're used to working with another person like this, it's somewhat of a change, but I had a ball. I'm glad. I want to thank John Kachuba for coming on earlier. I also want to thank, obviously, Bobby Atristine for coming on the show and talking with us tonight about the paranormal psychology of the brain, how the paranormal affects your brain. And you know what? We kind of formalized it today and talked about this, but really when you think about it, we talk about this every week on the show, how people react to situations, how they think about the situation, how they perceived it. This is something that it's kind of, in my opinion, the underbelly of everything we do is how your mind reacts to it. And I think Bobby's doing some great work on this to kind of bring that out and let people know how to feel about these things, how to react to them, and how to live with these certain things, too, if possible. On that note, though, we're going to get out of here because I'm going to lose my voice pretty soon. I'm totally burned out here, though. This has been Ghostly Talk. You can come to our site at ghostlytalk.com. We're in replay everywhere on Omnisound Radio. Pioneer.rolo.net's our home station, so to say. Hi, Jeff. I haven't talked to you in a while. Radio New York International. We're on all the podcast stations now. It's really great. And you know what? This is our last show of 2005, too.
And we'll see you until next year.
We're not going to see you guys or talk to you guys or whatever it is you do, not till next year. Of course, you'll see our names on the site doing our usual administering thing. Be ready for the new sites coming up here.
Both
new sites, paranormalminds.com.
Correct.
And the new ghostlytalk.com for 2006. There's a lot of changes happening. We're really excited about it. And we're really excited to have all you people listening to the show. Lots of new features coming up on the site that people are going to be able to take advantage of.
It might go down for a couple of days.
That's the idea.
Just to forewarn everybody.
Yeah, we might be out of commission, but don't worry. We're not going to be dead or anything like that. One thing I wanted to throw out is that I'm still hearing from people in my email and say, I can't access the website. If you're listening to this now through some other type of thing, like in a podcast that you found, we're going to be back up and running here just in another week or two. We're very sure that everybody will be able to access the website again. We've been having this problem since like August. So that's one big thing I want to get out there is in a couple weeks, hopefully all of our problems will be solved with that and everybody will be able to access the site and download the archives to their heart's content. That's our Christmas present to you. Okay, every year we give out free archives. That's what we do all year long, free archives all the time. This has been Ghostly Talk, though. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we're out of here, man. Have a great week. Guys, have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Have a great holiday. Have an awesome New Year. We're going to see you here on New Year's Day. So if you're not too hungover, listen to us here on New Year's Day on Ghostly Talk. We're out of here. Have a good week, guys.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. listen to now.
I need to go someplace where a man can.